What's going on, my friends? Welcome on out to Behind the Energy Podcast, where we dive into behind the scenes of DJing, entrepreneurship, and all the excitement in between. We got some friends, some cool people joining us, and a lot of fun stories. So without further ado, let's jump into Behind the Energy Podcast. The signature clap to start the show. This is episode 34 of Behind the Energy Podcast. Welcome out to the listeners, to the viewers. Shouts out to everyone who subscribed, shown it to their mom, their roommate, their dog. And, of course, welcome Jordan, my man, to the show, bro. What's up?
Oh, it's good. Hello, hello.
For a dollar.
Oh, no.
What was the name of the venue slash, like, play area that I used to throw parties at in high school?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. It's like a bowling alley.
You got it?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
Bro, I don't remember because I only went one time and it was for your event.
For a dollar, who is my favorite hip-hop artist?
Mac Miller.
There we go. I had to do it, bro.
Yes, absolutely.
Love that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Schmidt, I'm so stoked for this episode. It's going to be similar to the last episode in that it's not specifically related to the DJing or event industry, but more so entrepreneurship and building your own, really, career, if you will.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta tell them where it was at.
It was at Planet Play. You remember?
I have some good and bad memories of that night. So, yes.
That makes me so happy.
Yes.
But you got Mac Miller, right? Yep. First off, shouts out all the Mac fans. Shouts out everyone who came to those Planet Play parties. Those are something else.
Those are something else.
So, Jordan, before we jump into your entrepreneurial journey and really where your focus is at right now, I want to talk a little bit about like how our friendship kind of kicked off. And I want to hear a little bit from you and your perspective and those early days back in, what was that, 2013.
Yeah, bro. I was a sophomore in high school. No, junior, sophomore. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of those years. But I think you DJed like a dance or you DJed a birthday party, actually. Like one of my friend's birthday parties. I can't remember which one because you DJed like all of my friend's birthday parties when I was in high school. And I was like, this guy is dope. Like, you played Logic. That's what really like put me on to you.
You know Giovanni? Does that name ring a bell?
Yes.
So he introduced me to Logic, bro.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then you DJed at, I think it was like Austin Duncombe and like somebody, it was like a duel.
Landon.
Yeah, it was like a duel party. I don't remember whose it was exactly, but you were DJing and you started playing Logic and I was the only one that knew. Like I was the only one in that whole entire party and I remember coming up to you and being like, dude, you are an absolute legend for playing this song.
That
like nobody else
so
knows what
happy.
This is, but like as soon as I heard the beat, I was like, there's no shot he's playing this. And then you were playing, I was like, oh, Parker's a legend.
Do you know what you just reminded me of, bro?
What?
We saw Logic together
in
a small room.
Yep. Small room at the complex.
I forgot about that for a moment,
yep.
bro. Seeing, so like from a DJ perspective, seeing Rhetoric perform was one of the coolest things ever. Like, I've seen a lot of DJs and more electronic, but like a hip hop DJ, not just like slamming tracks, but engaging with the crowd and telling a story.
Yeah.
Like that was dope.
He's still one of the very few people like from that time period that I still like follow on social media and like mm-hmm. keep up to date with all of what he's doing and stuff. And he's a goat.
Dude, that makes me so happy. Yeah. Freaking Logic, dude. That's dope.
Logic brought us together technically.
So Logic and high school parties. Jordan's always been like a day one OG supporter of DJ Alive. Even though our paths like haven't physically crossed too much as we've grown up, like you've always been there, bro. And
I really
appreciate it.
Seriously,
those friends that were coming out to parties that I was throwing when I was 17, 18, 19.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now had I not had the support that I was having then.
It all starts somewhere. So
So
glad to see you doing. and doing things.
And you would know that as an entrepreneur.
Yes.
Too.
Yes. 100%. You know, there's a lot of grind and behind the scenes stuff that people don't know about, but mm-hmm. you know, it's great.
That's kind of, well, that's truthfully like the aim for this podcast yeah. is shining light on some of that behind the scenes stuff, telling the stories of these entrepreneurs, and really honing in on like some of those pivotal growth moments as well.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, Jordan, I'd love to take a step back to the beginning days, of gaming, streaming, and even just your entrepreneurial journey. It's not, I feel like for someone who's is as successful as an entrepreneur as you are and some other guests who've been on here, like it's been a part of their life for many years.
Yeah.
Like that's just a part of who they are. So I'd love to take like 10, 15 minutes and turn the time over to you to tell me a little bit about your story, bro.
So that's funny. It's coming up to 10 years of kind of not necessarily being an entrepreneur, but like taking the steps and like just the whole process of where I am now is this spring, I think will be 10 years, but it was back in middle school, freshman year of high school. So that's here in Utah, like that's still in middle school, which is still weird. But I had a gym class, or I was a TA for a gym teacher last period of the day, like the last semester of school or whatever, and so nobody goes to class, nobody really cares anything.
Yeah, I'm picking
and,
it up.
And so I'm kind of just in the gym, they're out playing soccer or something, I don't know, and I just come across like Call of Duty content creators, and like that was kind of my thing. I've always been into gaming. It's always been my background since I was young. Just that's always been my passion. I love gaming.
Was it YouTube or?
I was watching YouTube and like Twitch and okay. streamers and stuff
okay.
like that.
Twitch even 10 years ago too.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah. Okay. So I was watching this one guy. It was during this game. It was during Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, which is to this day my absolute favorite Call of Duty game. Like I have a symbol from that game tattooed on my leg, so like it means a lot. But I was watching this guy play, and I was like, he's really good at the game. Like, you know, I started to learn, and then just through random in-game lobbies, eventually became friends with him, which like was crazy.
And where
just,
was
like,
he located?
Canada.
Okay,
so he's a year older than me. So I was 15, he was 16, and he was streaming for like 500 plus viewers, like
at
16 years old, and he was just killing it in the game. Just
so not only was he really talented, but like was he really engaging and fun?
Yeah.
Like there was personality.
Yeah, it was kind of like the beginning of Twitch, kind of like a lot of people didn't quite have the personality thing that they have now, but like he was one of the best at the game. Like people would just tune in specifically for his gameplay and like what he was doing in the game because he was good and he was giving tips and okay. being informative. So I was like, okay, cool. So I was watching him, and then he would host like lobbies for his viewers to come play with him and stuff like that. So one of my friends that I just met organically through like a Call of Duty online lobby, we were trying to go for high kills and stuff like that in the game. He became friends with him, and then my buddy Tony invited me to meet Green Goblin HD, which was the dude. And
that was his name.
Yeah, that's
Green
his
Goblin
Green
HD.
Goblin HD.
Okay.
That's his. Dope. That's his online alias.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
His name's Luke. So yeah, we just started playing, and we just formed like this group, and like as the years went on, we started adding more people to our friend group, and it was all organic. It wasn't like, hey, you have a lot of numbers, come hang out with us. It was just like we would have interactions on Twitter, interactions on Twitch, YouTube, whatever, and be like, I like this person's energy, we'll bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
And so through that, like we just gamed for years, like and then it was more so in my junior year of high school, like I had been gaming and kind of focusing, and they're like, why don't you start a YouTube channel? I was like, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, like let's do that. So junior year of high school.
Junior here, okay.
Yeah, junior year of high school, okay. I actually like started my YouTube channel, and I was like, okay, cool, like I'll do this. So I started posting stuff just here and there, nothing like too serious. I didn't have like a nice setup that I have now. So it was kind of like scattered. And then senior year of high school, I really was like, I want to focus on this more. Like I want to do this. Like I'm going to backtrack a little bit. So junior year of high school, I got cut from the basketball team. So I was like, I don't know what to, like, what do I do with my time? Like versus like I had practice, four or five times a week, two games a week. Like mm-hmm. I was always busy. And then now that I'm not on the basketball team anymore, like what do I do? So I started focusing on that. And then my senior year of high school focused on it a lot more. And I would, it's kind of crazy looking back on it. There was so many times where I would like miss out on a party or like miss out on going to like the movies or like dates and stuff. Cause I could literally, it sounds terrible to play video games, but like it was building something. Like I was getting to this point.
And at this time you realized that.
Yeah. I mean, there was sacrifices. I knew that like coming with this kind of stuff, I'd have to make, but I wasn't super like hyper focused on it, or, like that aware of it. It just kind of naturally happened. I was like, nah, I don't want to go to this party. I'd rather stay here and work on a video or like stream or like something along those lines. And it was just cause I wanted, you know, to kind of get some internet popularity, stuff like that. Show off my stuff.
You're building, and I just want to throw this out there. Like, I appreciate that kind of context or that kind of lens because I didn't grow up gaming, and so this might be me catching up a little bit.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah. No, you're good.
But that was very helpful for me to understand, and I think for the listeners as well in providing value. So please continue, Jordan.
So yeah. So like, I missed out on some stuff in high school, which is. I look back on it, I don't regret it, at all. There's no regret that I'm like, I should have gone to that part. It's fine. There's a lot cooler things to do as an adult anyways. Mm-hmm. So then it was going fine. I had like, after I graduated, I probably had like 2,000 subscribers, I think. So nothing crazy. It wasn't like a full-time gig yet or anything like that. And then I was working at Fans, the sports paraphernalia store at the mall. And...
It's technically
they would describe it, even though it's not drugs, it's sports paraphernalia. So I was working there, and there was this YouTuber. He was in FaZe Clan. His name's Carl. He did this series where he would shout out five content creators. He'd be like top five content creators of the week, right? And so I was at 2,000 subscribers. I got featured on his episode. It was his 10th episode. And I got the number one spot. He juiced my channel from 2,000 subscribers to 12,000 in 24 hours. Like, I had a mass influx.
What was going through your head, and how were you feeling?
I was 19 years old. No. Yeah, no, I was like 19. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like I was watching my real time, and it would just go up. Like the real time subscribers, it'd be like, be like 4,500. Then like 30 seconds later, it'd be like 4,750. Like I was like, oh my goodness, like, oh my gosh. And I remember I went to Buffalo Wild Wings to
celebrate.
I was like, guys, this is on me. Like we're celebrating. Like this is awesome. So that's what really like, that was my first like real, like something real happened where like I saw an immense growth and I was like, okay, like I have an audience now. And so for a while there was a couple years and I did all right. And I used that to my advantage as best I could and started creating content around like what those viewers that came over to my channel were kind of enjoying. Not necessarily, it wasn't all the stuff that I was usually making, but like kind of replicating his channel that he had. So I was kind of just doing that kind of content for a little bit. And then it kind of died down. Obviously, that's kind of how it all it goes, you know, you get a shout out from somebody, not every single person is going to stick around and watch you for years. Like I still have people coming into like my Twitch chat be like, I remember when FaZe Carl gave you a shout out like 5 years ago. I'm like, wow, that's insane. But
so real quick. So it was junior year and in the basketball situation that made you start pivoting a little bit.
Yeah.
And then this particular shout out with the tremendous, what was it? 10,000 follower growth in 24 hours on YouTube, which is insane.
It's so hard to describe in words how insane that feeling was. Like, I cannot, like, there's no words to describe that. Mm-hmm. Like, realizing that my channel went from low four-digit number to, like, my first five digits. So.
Tell me, was that, I mean, of course you're ecstatic in a number of, I guess, emotions in that time. Was that almost like a time of reflection? Like, this is something that I want to even commit to even further.
Yes. Yes. Okay. It was like, I was always doing like YouTube as like a hobby, realistically. Like it was always just a hobby. Like that's what all of my like online friends did. So I was like, I just want to be kind of like part of that. Like it doesn't, it doesn't really matter. But then as soon as that happened, I was like, okay, this is like a really big opportunity and I need to focus on that. So,
and the YouTube content at that time, prior to the tremendous growth and after, give me a sliver of understanding of like what you, I guess, value you're providing. Was it entertainment? Was it like how to? Or
It was a lot of, yeah, no, it was entertainment. So like at that time, it was really popular to like go on Omegle. And so I would literally, I would just tweet out because of this big influx of like followers, because it translated over to Twitter too and like all my other socials.
The Twitter
I would just tweet out and be like, hey, I'm on Omegle under this. And so I would have my viewers and fans come into Omegle trying to find me. And then I would just make videos out of that, like making like fan interactions.
Yeah.
And those did crazy. Or then if
that's genius,
I would do that.
And that's crazy.
Yeah. I would do that. And then, or I'd be just like playing Call of Duty and like talking to the mic and the camera and then just literally be talking about anything that's like trending. So like when they shut down Vine, right? And I made a video talking about Vine. That video got like 8,000 views because I put hashtag RIPVine, tweeted it out, and people, that hashtag was trending. So people clicked on the video because of that, and then I gained a little bit of an audience from that as well. So I just kind of finessed a little bit. But
please continue. I keep interjecting.
No, you're good. I'm helping
try to paint more of a colorful picture.
No, 100%. Because so there's a lot of people that don't understand this world. So I definitely do appreciate that. So then that happened. And then, you know, the excitement and the hype kind of like died down and kind of like became like more normal. And, you know, the views were down a little bit. And then it was, we'll jump a little bit ahead. It was like 20. So late 2016, new Call of Duty had just come out. That's like the most exciting year for Call of Duty gamers. It's like the November-ish time of the year because that's when the new game always comes out. And so the game that came out, I did not like it. Like I didn't like it at all. It was just poorly made, and that's a continued trend with the developers at Call of Duty. It's just poorly made the first month. So I was like, I don't like this game. I don't want to make content on it. And there was another game that I'd been playing a lot called H1Z1, and it's like it was the original like battle royale, so think Fortnite and stuff like that, like before Fortnite was Fortnite. Mm-hmm. Like that's the game, that was the game that all the big streamers were playing. Like that was, it was kind of like a good time because the Call of Duty side was kind of meh, and it was kind of a new genre of game that nobody had really played before, so it was really popular. And I had a conversation with my now like good friends, my YouTube circle, and they're like, you're playing this game a lot. There's a demand for tips and tricks and updates and all that kind of stuff for this game. Nobody's doing it. There was one other person on YouTube scene doing it, and they were killing it, but they weren't honing into that. Like they were very inconsistent. They would upload maybe once a week, and I'm like, okay, I have a lot
maybe,
of time.
Maybe
once a week, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks. Like it was never consistent.
Were you working at this time too?
Yeah, I was. What job did I have then? I was working at Lowe's, I think.
Okay, so, you know, taking care of bills and funding like maybe new equipment and such. Okay,
yeah. So
okay.
I was working part time, and I made sure that I was always part time. I literally never, I'm gonna be honest, I've never had a full time job.
And like, you are 25.
25. Yeah. Wow. I've only ever worked part time because I knew that like once I saw that initial growth, I was like, okay, I can do this. I understand that I need to take care of other things too, but like if I just work part time and I'm good with my money, then I won't have to, you know, I don't have to work full time. Like I can do both. And so that's what I did. I was working part time, like 3 or 4 nights, I think a week. Like, was it like 15 or 20, like 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
So something like that. And yeah, so
at this time is when you were considering the idea of creating like kind of tutorials or how to videos for this particular game.
All aspects of the game that nobody was covering, I was going to do. So like how to aim better, how to get better at the game, or like if there was if the developer put out like an update, I would cover like the patch notes and like this is what to look forward to in the next with this update and stuff like that. And so that to paint the picture, that is like December 2016.
Okay.
So I uploaded my first video, I think it was like the week before Christmas. And then come the first week of 2017, I had gained like 800 subscribers. Like in that
that's
time.
That's a bump.
Yeah, that's a bump.
Yeah, that's and a I was big like, bump for
oh
sure.
Oh my goodness.
And in one video?
Yeah, just off that one video. Yeah, okay. It went it had like 80,000 views or something like that, and I gained like 800 subscribers from it, which is insane.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, so I pumped a video every single day for like, I think until the summer. I think it was one video every single day for like 6 months.
Can you try to describe how much work and discipline that requires?
A lot of discipline. Like you, like a lot of stuff. Like I, like again, back to like how, what I happened in high school is I missed out on like a lot of things, but it was like so worth it because my process was, you know, work or whatever, you know, whatever my job, whatever my shift was, like work around that schedule. So I would edit maybe late night and then post, like have it scheduled to post the next day. Like it was a lot of work, but I started noticing like I was gaining like 100 subscribers a day. Like,
incredibly impressive.
Yeah, I was getting that. It was insane. So I was like, okay, I just got it. Like I got to keep going. And then I finally hit like the milestone of like 20,000 subscribers. Cause I was like, that was kind of like, it's not 100,000, but like 20,000 around that time. Like that was kind of like the stepping stone. It was like 20,000 and like the 100,000 was like the next like one that you kind of celebrate. So I hit 20,000 in the matter of like 8 months of posting the game, 7 months, I want to say. And I was like, okay, like this is a huge opportunity. And then with that, with the presence that I've made, the developers of the game flew me out to their studios that same summer that everything started to kind of like uptrend. Flew me out to their studio and like gave me a tour, and then like they paid for a hotel, they paid for all the food, and then they invited a bunch of other content creators to come like check out this next massive update. And then it was our turn to like, they basically got us to promote the stuff too as well. And I was like, this is insane.
How
like,
stoked were you, dude?
It was crazy because I was at a Call of Duty gaming event with all of my YouTube friends, and then I checked my like business email and it said, this is so-and-so from Daybreak Games. We see that you're in California right now, but would you be interested in coming back next week? I said, oh, absolutely. They're like, everything's paid for. Everything's taken care of. I said, oh my gosh. I think I was 20.
Lowe's, I'm not going to be into work for next week.
Yeah. I think by that time I had quit my job. Yeah. I had quit because I did Lowe's and then I did apartment leasing. And then the whole summer situation took off, and then I quit my job because I was like, I'm making more from this gaming stuff than what I was making just working part time. Like it was way more paying. Like I could pay the bills and then have fun with what I was earning as well.
So again, Jordan, I apologize. I keep jumping in.
No, you're good. You're good.
But tell me and maybe even provide a little bit more context for listeners. Is that sponsors? Is that like
So
per view? Like what does that look like?
It was kind of
time?
It was an accumulation of like everything. So I was streaming a lot on Twitch. So there's paid subscribers on Twitch. And so how that works, if you're kind of like if you're not at the top of the top, the split is a little bit different. But if you're not up there, it's a 50-50 split with Twitch and Amazon and everything like that. So $5 is for a baseline subscription. I would get $2.50 of that. Amazon, Twitch would get another the other $2.50. So I started to accumulate paid subscribers. So I had like 500 off of that, like 500 paid subscribers. So that which was nice. And then I also like sponsorship deals with like H1Z1. It's like in game, the cosmetics were worth real money. Like there were some that was worth insane amount of money. Like there was stuff in there that was worth like $20,000. Like in game, it's like basically like it was like an NFT before an NFT.
That's a really good way of describing it.
Yeah, it was
like I didn't even understand it fully until you put it that way. That makes sense.
It was like an NFT before an NFT, and sites would. And like there was like gambling and stuff involved with that, and so they would pay me to promote their sites, and like they'd give me skins and stuff like that. So I would be able to sell the skin. So I was doing that, and then the ad revenue from YouTube. So I had like a few different sources of income that all revolved around that game.
So you went to this, I guess you could say, really close knit kind of like launch. Not even, I don't want to say event, but you were out in California.
Yeah.
Okay. That's where we were at.
I went to a, like, it was kind of a game testing type of situation with a bunch of other content creators and like pro players that were in the scene. And then, So did all that, which was, it was really cool. We didn't, I'm gonna be honest, we did not love the update that they that they provided to us, and we even voiced our opinion about, like, this is not, don't release this to the public. And then, so that was probably, I think that was like June 2017. And then they pushed out that update. The game kind of went on a massive downward tick. Like, for, I'm gonna give you an example. The highest concurrent players that game ever had was 150,000 in, like, that's in a 1 day time span. Just to paint the picture, Fortnite has like 10 million a day. Like, to put that into perspective, like, 150,000 is nothing, but like, it was still a huge community at the time.
Oh, of course.
So just to kind of paint that picture. And so it went, like, it peaked in the middle of the summer, and then it started just rapidly declining. And it was kind of unfortunate, because then all of a sudden this other game called PUBG came out, which is another, like, battle royale game. And then Fortnite came out, and that was like the beginning of, like, the mecca that is the giant thing that is Fortnite now. But I got to, through like the H1Z1 stuff, as even though it was declining, they had a whole event at this thing called TwitchCon. It's like a big gaming event, and they have just all different, like, streamers come and meet their audiences, and it's just a big, like, gaming convention. And during that time, I got invited to be part of this $180,000 H1Z1 tournament on giant, massive stage. There was like 10,000 people in the audience or something like that, and then there was like another 100,000 watching live.
That's massive.
So I got to do that, and then I kind of like lost some footing, because H1Z1 was on a decline, and Fortnite and PUBG were up, like, really popular, and I thought I had too much faith in the game that I was playing, because, oh, the developers know who I am, like, they're gonna fix the game, like, they didn't care. Like, the higher up developers, like the suits, they didn't care about. Gotcha. They were just trying to make money. So that game went spiraled, and I kind of lost some footing. I didn't really know what to do, and like, the views were tanking. I lost like the sponsorships because of the game not being popular anymore. So it's kind of trying to figure some stuff out. And then I hopped on the Fortnite bandwagon for a little bit, and then that did really well. I think when I made the transition from like H1Z1 to Fortnite, I think I gained 25,000 subscribers, something like that.
25,000?
Yeah, between the...
In what time span?
Like a year.
That's insane.
Yeah, because it was...
My goodness.
There was a lot of hype, because you could... There was so much stuff you could, like... I'm going to say clickbait. You could clickbait some crazy stuff, because one, Fortnite is free. Two, Fortnite was the first game that really brought to light, like, cross compatibility. So, like, if you're on an Xbox and your buddy's on a PlayStation and your other buddy's on the PC, everybody can play together. That was, like, really the first game to really do that.
Because
it's always been, for the longest time, gaming has always been exclusive to whatever you have. So if you're playing on Xbox, if you're playing on Xbox, you're not able to play with your friends on PlayStation or PC. Vice versa. And so now, like, Fortnite was the one that kind of did that. So that free to play, the cross compatibility,
a much larger pool of
made
players.
It absolutely massive.
And people familiar with the game and the brand.
Yeah. It just went absolutely massive. And so, like, there was a lot of eyes watching it. So I just hopped. It was literally a bandwagon. I just hopped on. I enjoyed the game, but, like, for content purposes, I was like, this is what I got to do. And so I did that. For a while, and then I got like this brand deal from this one company that they were trying to compete with Twitch. It's called Caffeine. They don't do gaming anymore, but so they were signing content creators, and so I was like, oh, I'll hop on that, like, I'll reach out. So then I got like a nice like 6 or 8 month deal to stream on their platform for like a salaried platform, and then that went downhill, because then they switched out all the gaming stuff for, they brought on, I don't know if you ever heard of Drake's Underground Rap League. Drake has like this whole like Underground Rap League. They bought that, and it became so popular that the Caffeine company got rid of all the gamers. Yeah, just dissolved all the gamers completely. Okay. And they're just, now it's just a platform for that. So I was trying to, like, when that all went downhill. I was again like trying to figure it out. And then I had, after that had gone downhill, I moved out to California to do an internship, a marketing internship with Stan Sox, taking a break from content. And then I was like, okay, cool. And then I started doing TikTok and I started making like TikToks about Utah, even though I wasn't living in Utah, because I saw them on my For You page. And I was like, things are going, like, there's people with like making some random stuff about the state of Utah and getting like 10,000 likes. And I was like, I could do that. And so I just did that. And I went, I full sent it again with like the same mentality that I had with like the H1Z1 stuff. Was I was posting like 2 to 3 every single day for like, this is like fall, winter 2019. I was posting every single day. And I think in 3 months of posting, I gained 10,000 followers. Like completely organic.
This is TikTok.
Yes, this is TikTok. Right. And I was like, oh. Okay. And I had a conversation with, again, same YouTube friends that got me into playing H1Z1. They said, go full send with this. Like go all out. You'll become like the Utah guy. And I was like, okay, cool. So I did that. And literally, like,
is that the CEO of Utah?
Yes, CEO of Utah. That's what the people, like, at first I was like, okay, that's funny. And then, like, but it's become like a thing. Like, that's how I get addressed in public now.
It's wow.
Like the CEO of Utah or like wow, okay. The TikTok guy. And so like fast forward from like fall 2019 to now, like that's what I've been focused on is take my own TikTok content creation, getting brand deals from like local places, and then just kind of just being the Utah guy. So yeah. So I've kind of done a lot of things between gaming and then in real life kind of stuff.
Okay, so let's stay on the topic of like TikTok and Reels right now. I see some pretty like, what's the word? Like, not hot take, but like, ooh, kind of like videos from you every now and then.
Yep.
And you've been doing it for a minute. Like I remember you going around with like the cabled mic as well. Just literally going out in public asking like funny, unique, or like out of pocket kind of questions, just getting reactions and whatnot. That's pretty ballsy, bro.
Yeah, and I've gotten way more ballsy lately. Like, right now my whole thing is like I've just been going to like the high school Utah games because I know my audience, and majority of my audience is high schoolers. So I go there and interview them like for the dollar thing. And then,
sorry if you didn't catch that connection. That's where it was.
Yeah. So. Once the games are over in a couple of weeks and it gets warmer, I plan to start going to like university, not the university games, but just university campuses and like downtown. And I have some ballsy stuff that I like.
You've been scheming.
Yes. Oh yeah. I've been scheming because I'm like, I can't do the high school student sections forever. Mm-hmm. Basketball games are going to end soon. So like, I got to come up with something. I got to think ahead. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So I got some stuff ready to go in a few months.
Okay. Sorry. You're talking about a number of things I want to talk, like, have questions on. We maybe have like 5-7 minutes left. Tell me about, I guess, the nature of content creation. Right now, we're talking Twitch, we're talking YouTube, we're talking Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, Reels, and TikTok as well. Yeah. Am I missing anything? Any main pillars?
No.
Okay. Obviously, content creation just doesn't come out of thin air.
Yeah.
There's a lot of intention behind it, especially if you're doing it as frequent as you are, up to 3 videos a day. That's insane. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, that was.
I was editing in a YouTube video for my page the other day, and I put 6 hours into it.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't. I'm gonna be honest. I'm glad I don't do that anymore. Like one a day is fine now.
It's a lot.
Yes.
You had mentioned it earlier. You're obviously very intentional. You're thinking like, okay, spring, summer, like where am I at? Yeah. What is the key focus? You know, high school demographic's not going to be my thing always. Maybe can you speak a little bit more to that? Is there a particular method with the workflow or maybe even a tip or two that you would give to someone who's wanting to get into content creation?
To getting into content creation, you got to just do it. Like, don't – this is the biggest thing that I've learned over the last probably 6 years is like – if you're hesitant about like putting something out, like you probably won't do it. If you just do it, there's a good chance that maybe it goes viral or like it just does well and you didn't think that it would. I've had so many times where I like second guessed posting something and I just didn't. And then I see somebody else post something a little bit similar to whatever it was. Mm. And then that went really well for them. I'm like, I should have done that. Like I regret that. So now if I have an idea, I just execute when I post. Like I don't,
execute.
I honestly don't put too much thought into, like, is this going to do well? Is this not going to do well? Because you can't, not every single video, not every single piece of content is going to go viral. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's going to be some that flop, and that's just, mm-hmm. that's part of it, mm-hmm. which is definitely, you know, everybody kind of experiences that a mm-hmm. little bit. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Earlier in the conversation, you had let me in on the initial, I believe it was two other gamers. One was from Canada. Yeah. What was his name?
Luke, Green Goblin HD.
Green Goblin HD.
Yeah.
And there was another one, a part of the trio, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I know when we went to breakfast a couple months back, you had let me in on, I guess, some of the exciting milestones and people you've met as your career has continued to accelerate. Can you speak a little bit more towards really, I guess, those relationships and how you've learned from them, or how they've challenged you to become a more efficient content creator, or I don't know, be more strategic and in the value that you're trying to deliver. Am I making sense there?
Yeah, no,
can
definitely.
Can you add on to that?
I've got this one content creator, his name is Chris. He goes by FaceWag. He's been one of my friends for just about as long as I've been doing content, literally the last 10 years. And he got absolutely massive the last 2 years. Like, mm-hmm. he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated back in mm-hmm. June or July. Last year he was on Forbes 30 Under 30, and literally just watching, like, his work ethic is something that I value so much. Like, other people's work ethic and learning from that, even if you don't have a complete behind the scenes, but you see how much content they're putting out, whether that's on Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, mm-hmm. all of that is absolutely massive. And that's part of, like, my shift to be doing, like, these street interviews and stuff like that, and, like, getting out of my comfort zone, is because I see how he kind of puts in a lot of work, and I want to essentially replicate the hard work without copying the style or doing exactly what he's doing.
Okay.
So I wanted to find my own little crevice of the internet that I can kind of do and grow from.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Really kind of what I collected from that is like an inspiration for, a different kind of creative approach, and almost like motivation for the level of what you're looking to deliver.
Yes. Yeah.
Kind of following along.
That's pretty much it.
Okay. Let's see here, Jordan. Can you give us a preview of what 2020 is going to look like, or maybe even like what's a big 5-year goal or
big 5-year goal? My biggest goal right now is, can you, grow my TikTok more, because mm-hmm. 2021 I kind of took a little bit of a break and I was kind of stagnant, but we've been very focused and I'm already seeing good results. I want to hit 100,000 on YouTube. That's been on the back burner for a little bit. And so,
is that a plaque? Do you get that?
Yeah, you get a plaque.
Okay, dope.
And so literally, like, my lock screen on my phone is an empty plaque.
I love
like
that.
Just to kind of manifest and make sure that I'm focused on that. So I did start a new series, kind of similar to like a podcast, but I interview content creators. Uh-huh. So I have a lot of different connections of very big content creators that I have lined up for the next few weeks to come on and chat. So that should help with some growth there, and just, you know, continue to entertain people. Honestly, like, that is one of my absolute favorite things. Like, when I'm out in public and people ask for pictures or like say hi to me, like, I'm like, this is why I do. Like,
it's
this
fun.
is the fun stuff, and like, this is like, I love doing this. So
I think you wrapped that up so well, because where I wanted to kind of come full circle on is really kind of, what is content creation and what are you delivering, or what are you bringing to the table? What are you providing? I think it's different for every industry.
Yeah.
And I think the term even content creation is fairly new, kind of thrown around, maybe even a buzzword, whatever you want to call it. But it sounds like what you're looking to deliver is an entertainment and sometimes even like a humorous value
for your
viewers and for your community, for your friends, people who are part of what you're doing.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love it. And yeah, that's like my whole motivation to keep going, is just like the interactions that I have with people. And just to add to that, this Thursday, somebody asked, one of my viewers asked me to come coach their junior jazz game. So I'm going to go do it.
Like, as a joke or serious?
Like, I'm going to dress up for it. I have my old like track suit from high school when I was on the basketball team.
Dude, I love
I'm going to wear the do-rag. I'm going to wear some like D-bag Yeezys, and I'm really going to play the character.
That's so dope.
So I was like, when I saw that, they said, come coach my basketball, our junior jazz game.
Junior jazz. Wait, where's the coach? Like, are they out
they
of the
have a coach, but like, they just want me like as a guest coach.
And are they approaching this from an angle of like, yo, Jordan would be sick. Like, I know he's been in basketball.
No,
this is going to be fun.
Yeah, like coming from the fun aspect. Like, this, like, it'll be funny to have him coach us. And
I can't wait to see that video, bro.
Yeah, I think they're all seniors at West Jordan. So, yeah, I just saw the comment and I was like, oh, absolutely.
Junior jazz seniors?
Yeah. So
dope.
Yeah,
let's go.
So I was
okay.
Like, it's not little kids. It's like,
okay.
They're all.
Yeah.
Young adults, and so I think it would be absolutely hilarious because I'm gonna put on a whole character. So
that's okay. And are you gonna have multiple shooters?
Oh yeah,
all mic'd up and everything.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna.
Hey, yo, Jimmy.
I'm gonna spoil a little bit, but I'm gonna try to pay off the ref as a part of the bit.
How much for a dollar?
No, I'm just gonna be like, I'm just gonna have like a 10 on me, and I'm gonna be like, hey, listen, and I'm gonna make sure that my camera guy's like right up next to me. I'm gonna be like, hey, listen, like I'll slide you this 10, just don't call any fouls on my team. Like, don't call any fouls.
You're gonna set the tone from the beginning.
Oh,
of
yeah,
the game?
That's, I'm walking in there, and there's
with
gonna,
that energy.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Oh, I was gonna say, bro, maybe fourth quarter.
No. We're starting crazy, and I already have like a little bit of a speech made, like prepared for like
Dude, are
the
you
guys
hearing this stuff, bro?
And. And, like, I've already decided that I'm going to tell them, like, our game plan is if we get up by 20, we're taking half-court shots only. Like, I've already thought this through.
Dude, this is going to be big.
Yeah. I was like, there's so much opportunity for this. Like, oh, we're going to, I've got a lot planned for this entire, and it's going to be like a, it's going to end up being like a 40-second video, but it's going to be golden. That's it's going to be golden.
I love that,
yeah,
bro.
So.
I can't wait to check out the video or even like some preview snippets. But B, I can't wait for that plaque, bro.
Yeah.
Let's go to B Dubs on me
oh,
when you get
no,
that
no,
plaque,
no, no,
bro.
No, 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 no.
B Dubs
no.
on me
We're
when you get
We're going to the
that.
Club, baby. We are going to the club. We are getting a table. I've already manifested. I've put it in my head. We are going crazy when I'm bringing that plaque to the club too. I don't care.
I love that.
Yep.
That's a video, bro.
Yep.
What other kind of crazy things are
exactly,
we doing?
Exactly. There's a few things I don't want to spoil too much, but there's I got a whole list on my phone of things that I want to kind of accomplish and kind of network and work with other people that are kind of ballsier than I am and get me out of my comfort zone. So that's kind of what I'm doing for the rest of the year.
Dude, I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
I really mean it, dude. And
I appreciate
like,
that.
You know I said it earlier, but you really have been supportive since day one, and that means more than you know.
Of course, of course.
Me and my crazy ass dreams as a 16, 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Jordan, know that I really appreciate it, bro.
Of course.
And,
of course.
I can't wait to go celebrate at the club with
you. Yep, we're going to the club.
I can't wait for that preview video. Where can we see that video and everything else? Is it Twitch, TikTok, Instagram? Like, where can we find you?
So on TikTok and YouTube and Twitch is my alias Legend of Cotton, and then Instagram is AirSchmidt22.
There we go. I was looking at your YouTube page and I saw like the head banner, Legend of Cotton.
Yes,
is the name. Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, dope. Anything we haven't covered? Anything we haven't covered, or anything you want to add on to, bro? Or any last words to leave the viewers and listeners with?
Not that I can think of. Just thanks for having me. I don't think there's anything too much to say.
Well, Jordan, thank you, bro.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. I think this is episode 34. I said 34. It's 34. This is episode 34 of Behind the Energy Podcast. Check out my boy Jordan on all the socials. You'll get a little bit of an ab workout from laughing. maybe even a little bit more informational value in terms of content creation.
Yes.
What would you call the world of, like, I know MLG is a term, but like professional streaming or gaming, I don't know. Am I making sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's just professional content creator or just content creator
in
general. I think that's just the general term for that everybody identifies as, like, I'm a content creator.
Thank you.
And then you can go in, like, they typically go into whatever specific field that they're in, but
field.
It's an entertainer, man.
Yeah. An entertainer.
Yeah, entertainer, content creator. Are synonymous.
Yo, we out here entertaining, going behind the energy on Behind the Energy Podcast. Check out my boy Jordan. Jordan, thank you so much, bro.
You're welcome.
This is episode 34. We'll catch you next week for episode 35, 36. We got some dope episodes coming up. You know Landon, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got him coming up too and whatnot. So I'm stoked. Thank you, everyone who's listening. We'll catch you next week for another episode.